brought in a very, very interesting remit through this 5S structure that you put in. I think my next question is, as these GCCs look at some frame, which you just cited, or some directional principles, how does these GCCs actually measure their success? What is the operating model success that they could possibly measure? What would success mean as they set it up? You know, of course, for some of them, as you said, it's the first time. For some of them, as you said, they've probably worked with third-party providers, but it's still setting up their own center. Yeah. So, it'll be very, very, very good to understand how is this measurability coming in as there is so much of activity in this sector happening?
No, definitely, Pragati. I would say the answer to that question lies in what are your underlying drivers? What's the reason why you're setting up? And while I would say there is a lot of motherhood apple pie answer, but every company, every organization would have a different priority. One of the reasons you'd set up a GCC right now, because if you already have talent sitting with third parties, this means you have access to talent. Maybe you're looking for a differentiated talent. We all know the quality of talent a GCC is able to attract is much higher vis-a-vis what a third party is able to attract just because of the kind of value proposition you have. So one of the big drivers is differentiated talent. In that case, what you need to measure is, are you actually able to attract that differentiated front-to-back talent? Are you actually able to do that work, which is more, intimate rather than just doing the fag end of the work? You're able to interact and manage the entire value chain. So for example, if you're doing a customer onboarding, you're not only doing punching of keyboards, you're also making sure that you're also maybe underwriting the customer, you're doing the credit assessments, you have the modeling work happening. So if you look at the full value chain from the time you attract, so that is a very big driver. Are you actually able to have end-to-end processes or not? I think the other aspect is de-risking. We all know financial services is a heavily regulated industry. I think regulators get uncomfortable if a lot of your work is sitting with third parties and you yourself have a bit of a loss of knowledge or loss of IP. So that's also one very big driver. So in that case, you're looking at bringing all aspects which are core to your intellectual property, which are core to your customers in. So that could be one of the drivers out there. I would say the third aspect of the story is around cost. Definitely, there's a business case why you're doing it. Even if you're insourcing work from your third parties, there's a certain cost advantage that accrues to you. There's a certain productivity benefit or a dividend that comes to you.
Sure.
So I think all those aspects, I would say these are the three big aspects. And then you talked about a very interesting, a facet, which is around operating model.
Yes.
And our sense is that is a bit of a holy grail for success. So I think when you're looking to set up your GCC out here, it's extremely important how your GCC is going to interact with the global organization. And that is going to be the function of the operating model or the organization design or the reporting lines that you're going to set it up. And there are three big models. Three normally prevalent models out there. You could set up your GCC as an internal service center. So like you have your vendors. Vendors are external partners. You set up your GCC as an in-house service center or an in-house managed service provider, where GCC has same SLAs, KPIs, is expected to behave.
It's a service provider.
Yeah, it is a service provider. Versus if your focus is to set up a more value creation entity or a value creator entity, then you're looking at setting up a GCC where teams are actually operating front to back, functionally aligned. So for example, if you're moving your finance function or if you're moving your customer underwriting or if you're moving your customer service, the teams sitting out here or your technology aspects are actually reporting down to the CIO or the customer success officer. So the GCC is more of an enabling layer. It's a bit of a container rather than everyone reporting into the GCC organization. And we've seen FS or financial services has been extremely mature. If you look at, that's been one of the reasons of success where more and more financial services organizations right now are set up in a functionally aligned model. But at the same time, we are extremely cognizant when you are entering first time India, you also don't want a wild west. You don't want six functions to set up in six ways. So maybe I think I would say the model which most of the organizations are adopting, you set it up in a way where the level of control and governance locally at the GCC is much higher. Then as the enterprise matures, then you open it up And then you make the GCC as a more of an enabling organizations, and most of the team operate like an extended team model front to back. So I think that's where the story is going, but it is extremely pertinent because if you want to attract differentiated talent, that talent has an aspiration to do a global role. And if all your reporting lines are going to end up in a GCC, how are you going to have a career path? So I think that is, I would, as I said, operating model is a holy grail. And that's how I would say the evolution is happening.